Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes, here.
Bullock?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Retta?
There.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Thacket?
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 present.
We now have the approval of minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting of October 23rd, 2012?
Motion to approve the minutes as distributed.
Second.
So moved. Hearing none, there's a motion for approval of minutes. We've had that. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Any announcements from members of the council? Are there any announcements from members of the council? Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will be removing Ordinance 12-105 and Ordinance 12-112 from the agenda this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 12-113, amend the annual operating budget, reduce the Department of Community Services FY 2013 operating budget by $64,800 in order to provide funding toward the Summer Recreation Camps grant. Ordinance 12-114, amend the grants budget appropriate federal community development block grant funding of $50,000 and Kessel County funding of $64,800 and program income of $85,200 to the Summer Recreation Camps grant. Ordinance 12-115, amend the grants budget to carry forward federal funding of $1,327,838.69 from the FY 2012 Community Development Block Grant to the FY 2013 Community Development Block Grant administered by the Department of Community Services. Ordinance 12-116, amend the grants budget appropriate $40,500 of U.S. Department of Agriculture and Rural Development funds to the Garfield Computer Lab Grant. Ordinance 12-117, amend the grants budget carryover federal funding of $1,519,215.89 from the FY 2012 Home Program Grant to the FY 2013 Home Program Grant. Ordinance 12-118, amend the capital budget, increase appropriations by $76,000 for the Information Systems Expansion Project in order to implement a smart 911 system for the 911 call center. Ordinance 12-119, amend the grants budget appropriate federal funding in the amount of $17,291,611 to the Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program for 2013. Substitute number 1 to Ordinance 12-120 to abate penalty on 18 Quail Hollow Drive, tax parcel number 08024-20079. Substitute number 1 to Ordinance 12-121 to abate penalty on 105 Fox Lane, tax parcel number 09005-00040.
All ordinances shall be considered at the November 27, 2012 council meeting, with the exception of those items that require board or commission recommendations. We'll now have reports from select and special committees. Can I please have the reports from any committees of the council? Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. President, and welcome.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to review what we did at our finance committee, which met at 1:30 today. We had a series of resolutions and ordinances dealing with paving for sewer rehab project, refund of taxes paid in error. We have a ordinances having to do with the fiscal integrity of the county and review of council by county finances, and we had a robust discussion of council rule amendment. Also, we approved council grants in the course of business.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other discussion on that point? Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President, and also yes. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Today, upstairs at the Land Use Committee meeting, we heard a resolution that I'll be presenting tonight for the consideration and hopeful adoption of council for the acceptance of a parcel. And we also heard a resolution for the plan of the Lincoln Center on Route 7.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other announcements from the committees? Being done, thank you so much. Moving on to the consent calendar. Our consent calendar is used to pass matters in a group that have been determined to be non-controversial by the sponsors as communicated to the president or clerk. However, an item will be removed from the consent calendar upon simple requests from a council member or the public if discussion is desired. I urge the public to speak up if there's a particular item of concern. Are there any items on the consent calendar which any council member wants to be removed? Is there anyone from the public who wishes for an item to be removed from the consent calendar? Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second. Yes, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 12-158, honoring the life of Charles Edwin Schreppler and expressing condolences to his family and friends. Resolution 12-159, reappointing Dace Blaskovitz to the Newcastle County Employees Retirement System Board of Trustees. Ordinance 12-160, congratulating Jonathan Waltz on achieving the rank of Eagle Scout.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the consent calendar. The consent calendar has been passed.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you. Passed. Presentations. Any council member wish to make a presentation at this time? Moving on to items removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. Consideration of resolutions removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. R12-161. Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like Resolution 12-161 to be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 12-161, amend the capital budget, appropriate $183,440 of state funding to the Brandywine 100 South Rehabilitation Phase 1 project.
Does anyone from Council have questions or comments? Mr. Cartier.
Yes, just two comments. This is from the fiscal note. This resolution adopted amended capital budget by appropriating $183,440 of state funding to the Brandywine 100 South Rehabilitation Phase 1 project. The new project, including this appropriation of state funds, will be $65 million. Okay, that must be the aggregate. $65,636,072. Just to break it down for folks, we worked this over in the finance committee. Our state electeds in the area of the Surrey Park and Tarleton subdivisions have generously helped us out with additional paving of development streets that were disrupted in the process of the sewer rehab project in the area. So this resolution reflects the appropriation of those funds.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes, I would like to publicly thank State Representative Dennis Williams, State Representative Deborah Heffernan, and State Senator Kathy Cloutier for their bipartisan support for the streets in my constituencies, the folks in Tarleton and Surrey Park.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments on the floor? Mr. Cartier, anything else?
No, sir.
We'll now open the floor for public comment. Anyone wishing to speak on this subject, this resolution, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please read the call and roll on R12-161.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiel?
Yes.
Ms. Dillard?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kapasta?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Wine?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Approved. R-12-162.
Yes, Mr. President, I would request that R-12-162 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley.
Second.
Resolution 12-162, approving the refund of taxes paid in error.
As discussed in committee, this is a normal course of business. We have two residentials and a business that have made duplicate payments to Newcastle County. Therefore, unfortunately, we have to give the money back for a total of $18,998.98.
Any questions from the council or comments from Mr. Smiley concerning this R-12-162? Open the floor for public comment at this time. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kapasta?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
All those in favor? It's been approved. We'll move on to R-12-163, Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, I request that R-12-163 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 12-163, town of Lincoln Center, Newcastle 100, east side of Bear Christiana Road, directly across from Freedom Road. Proposed mixed-use development of 1,592,625 square feet, including 508 dwelling units, OR zoning.
Yes, Mr. President. This
yes.
This plan has been around for some time. It's working its way through. It is mixed use. It's along the Route 7 corridor near the area of Governor Square and the Bear Library. Many road improvements and such have been made and are ongoing in that area. And I can honestly say this is the one and only plan that I'm aware of that's been around so long and the people still like it. So I think he better build it while he can. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Any questions or comments from the council? The floor is open for public comment. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward at this time. The floor is closed to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
No.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
Approved. Mr. Tackett, R-12-164.
Thank you, Mr. President. Madam Clerk, would you please read the resolution? I can't think of myself. Please.
12-164 by title only.
12-164.
By title only. And placed before council for consideration. I need a second.
Need a second.
Man. What was in that food?
Confirming acceptance of a deed and other documents necessary to accept the transfer of land to the county for stormwater facility remediation purposes.
Council, any questions? Mr. Tackett?
Comment? Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, this resolution we also discussed upstairs in committee meeting. This has been a long time, again, coming for us today. It had a few hurdles and a few bumps that it had to get over. We discussed this extensively upstairs in our committee meeting. Dave Culver, who I think does a wonderful job in everything he does, you know, was able to present this on behalf of the explanation, you know, that a lot of the that the members of council needed in order for us to review this resolution for consideration tonight, and the administration worked on it and had it approved, and also Ed Milowicki had looked at it, put the financial note on it, and it's ready for hopefully consideration and adoption here tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Tackett. Any further comment from council? Mr. Powers. Thank you, sir. Mr. Powers is coming on as a sponsor to this bill. Tackett, Mr. Tackett, I'm sorry, you received him as your co-sponsor.
Yes, I've said that several different times. I put in emails to add him on and everything, so yes.
I now pronounce you sponsor and co-sponsor.
Good. Any other comments or questions, Mr. Tackett? Thank you, Mr. Powers, for being a co-sponsor. Floor is now open for public comment on R12-164. Any public comment? If so, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cardi?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Collins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
R12-106, we will take this off the table. Move to take it off the table. Somebody need a sponsor.
Second.
Here I am.
Mr. Smiley.
Motion. I make motion to lift R12-106 from the table.
Second. So move and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approved.
Mr. President, I request
R12-106
be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 12-106, consenting the appointment of Marcos Ramos as chairman of the Newcastle County Diversity Commission.
As per the title, Mr. President. As per the title, no discussion.
Thank you. Any questions on that from the council or comments? Public comment. Floor is now open. Seeing none, we'll close it. Madam Clerk, please read.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins? Mr. Hollins?
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Sure enough.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes. Wasn't
that
funny, huh? Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13, yes.
Hello, Mr. Holland. No, he doesn't do it in church. He says amen.
I direct the choir in church.
He directs the choir. Moving on to ordinances, 12-105, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have removed 12-105 from the agenda.
Second.
It's already been withdrawn?
Yeah.
All right. We'll substitute to... None. Thank you, Mr. Bell, Mr. Hollins. We'll go to... 12-107. Mr. Smiley?
Actually, I'm going to do substitute 1 to 12-106.
Okay.
Request that be read by title only and placed before council for consideration.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to Ordinance 12-106 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2 Administration, Article 2 County Council regarding council contract approval.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes. As I said in my remarks earlier this evening, this council's made great progress. I look forward to us moving forward with it. This is just one of those pieces to continue the openness of government and the oversight of this council. We require notification of council.
If change orders exceed 25% of an original contract amount, or $10,000, whichever is greater, on all contracts executed on behalf of county that provide a provision that in the event of a default by other party to the contract, council will be required to assume responsibility. As we discussed in committee, this is how we ended up with the waste system in the lower part of the county that we're now responsible for. It was in the contract. To me, it was very clear in the contract. And all I'm saying is, if we are going to allow someone to do work, that if they fail, the taxpayers of New Castle County are going to be responsible for it, then this council should be well informed of it and buy into it. Doesn't mean we're not going to be the fail-safe mechanism, but we ought to be aware of it, have that discussion, and reach what comfort level we can with it. The other one is the evergreen provision. This just says that you enter into a contract, you can have a two-year contract or one-year renewal provision, but no repetitive ongoing contracts. As we saw, many of us here when we dealt with the PAL situation, that's what helped perpetuate that problem. It was an ongoing contract. It just kept renewing, which didn't allow for the oversight. There was no sitting down, reviewing the contract, bringing it into and up to form for current times. This would prohibit that. No ongoing contracts. Council's involved. We have our oversight. And I think it's good for the administration. It's good for this council. And it's definitely good for the residents of New Castle County.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Questions or comments from the council? Mr. Street.
Mr. President.
I rise out of respect for you in this historic moment in New Castle County tonight. And I want you to bear with me because the point I'm making, I think I'll soon be able to put together. I was excited about the fact when I looked at the numbers in September, you prevailed. And I said, it's going to happen. Not so much for me, but for the residents, the citizens of New Castle County, you being the first African-American president, I was overjoyed. And during the primary, after the primary, you ran as a team with the county executive. That's what Democrats do. That's what party affiliates do. And the cliche has it that to the victors go the spoils. But far too often, to the victors come the spoils. Now, as I'm here celebrating your victory, the history that you made, and I look back on the people who made that happen, the people who laid the groundwork for you, Councilman Hollins, and myself, to be here tonight serving in this capacity. With change, far too often has come resistance. And we know going through our history, going through the civil rights struggle, there was always resistance. Children had to be escorted through the schoolhouse door with federal marshals. Now, other folks may not look at it the way I do, but we're products of who we are, how we're raised, and our life endeavors and activities. I've been involved in the social justice arena from the 60s forward, still involved. And tonight, I go back to this afternoon. I was infuriated at the proposed rule change when one thing's being said in committee meeting and other things are being said in the public press. And what's been said in the public press is that there are certain persons who are bringing forward these rule changes in 106 and 107 to put handcuffs on you and put handcuffs on the new county executive. See, I am concerned that resistance is consistent with historical resistance that, in my view, has no place in New Castle County in 2012. Fact of the matter is, we have always, as we seek new endeavors and new opportunities, been held to a higher and different standard. So, if I support this one and the one after, I am supporting you as the new president being held to a new and different standard. My acquiescence says that. I cannot be a part of that. I will not be a part of that out of respect to you. Now, if we look at R112161, $183,000, $183,440 being appropriated from the state. Everybody jumping up and down singing kumbaya. $65 million total. There hasn't been a scintilla of a discussion about who gets the work, who the contract of the $65 million go to. But now we want to have a great long discussion about $25,000. To me, it's wrong, it's fundamentally unfair, and I won't be a part of it. Second, fundamentally unfair to you in your new capacity to not let you get acclimated to your new position, have some time to go through the rules, regulations that exist and the ones that are being proposed before you're being compelled to vote on them tonight. To me, it's wrong, it's fundamentally unfair, it's consistent with a bad part of our history that I won't have any part of in 2012.
Thank you, Mr. Street, Mr. Smiley, and Mr. Bell.
Very eloquently spoken. However, this ordinance has nothing to do with $25,000. And with all due respect to you, Mr. President, whether it's a new council president, a new executive, or as when we came in, seven new members of the council, we hit the ground running. Those that had not had an opportunity to apprise themselves and research the legislation went not voting. That's fine. There's nothing disrespectful in that. And there's nothing disrespectful in this legislation. I fail to see. And I'm going to back up again and say, you can read what you want in the paper. I brought this forward. It was introduced before the elections were over with. So the only person knows why these came forward is me. And I have not used the term or even implied that I'm trying to handcuff anyone. And how it can be handcuffing a council president or administration for this council to have the right to be briefed on any contract that will make the taxpayers of this county responsible if the developer or septic waste facility fails is beyond me. I'm not going to say another word. I've said what I had to say in council. I stand by what I've said when talked to by the press and in committee. And like anything else, people want to take it personal, take it personal. For me, it's only business. For 8 years since I've been on this council, I've done nothing but strive to open this government, make it fiscally responsible, and continue and broaden this council as a separate part of this government's oversight. And that I will continue to do. Up or down it goes, but Smiley's going to keep moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Mr. Bell, comment.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I stated this afternoon in committee, I had asked Administrative Services, in particular Andrea, to address this particular ordinance and as to whether she and her profession, as a professional employee of New Castle County in the purchasing area, if she felt that this particular ordinance would improve anything, would it make it better? And were we having any problems at this point in time with the contracts and the way they're adhered to? And if anybody wants to correct me, if I'm wrong, you're more than welcome to, but I believe that what I heard was that she does not see where they are experiencing any type of problems right now and the way the system's set up, that they do report to council. They do update council on a regular basis. And the fact is that she also stated that such an ordinance would become more cumbersome, place more work on the administrative services and what they're doing right now. My point of all this is that this policy has been in effect. It's been in effect not under just the past administration, but prior to that. And it's working. There are going to be human errors or mistakes made occasionally where someone makes a wrong decision. And we air them out in council. And we on behalf of the public, express our dissatisfaction in mistakes that are costly to any resident of this county. But I cannot support this. I don't think it's necessary at this point in time. We've heard from administrative services. The system is working as it sits now, and I really do not think that it needs to be changed. And that's my position this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Mr. Street, then Mr. Smiley.
Who gets to work. So in the $65 million case, there's no discussion. But when there's a new president and a new county executive come in, there's a great discussion about the $25,000 thing. In addition, and I said this during the budget hearings in this last spring, in the 8 years and all the hearings that we've had on the budget, the budget in its entirety, in my view, we have yet to change a single line in the budget that has been presented by any county executive in 8 years. But now, new county executive comes in with a new president. There's a $25,000 standard and threshold. It's wrong. It's conceptually wrong. It's fundamentally unfair. And I reiterate my position. And if you look at the 8-year record and you look at tonight's agenda alone, never any discussion about $65 million. But because it's $65 million that's going in Brandywine 100, and it's going for sewer repairs above Silverside Road, as long as they get what they have, there need not be any discussion. Well, right is right, wrong is wrong, and this is wrong for several reasons.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Mr. Smiley?
Yeah, I know I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know, it just keeps clawing and clawing. 8 years, you haven't been here. 8 years, I respect that, but just let me tell you something, and the records will bear it out. Not one time has this council asked either administration or either department for additional updating, reports, anything of the like, where there has not been a nightmare scenario presented to this council about how hard it would be, how tough it would be. But you know what? We've gone through. We've gotten that information. The county is still rolling along. We're still moving. We, this council, and I'll go back to the article in the paper 2 years ago, that do read the information are better informed when we come to this floor and we go out to the public. So I will reiterate what I said in committee. For this ordinance and the one following, I've asked the department to come back to us in 6 months and show us, is it creating a hardship? Is it a problem? How is it working? You know, you don't know if you ride the bike till you get on it. But again, to say that it's unfair to anyone, for this council
to protect the rights of this county. To say that it's working, that's why we're now operating a sewage disposal plant. That's why hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money got there. Because without this change, that is what we got. That's what was in the contract. Now, Councilman Street, we've been here 8 years together. We've had our agreements. We've had our disagreements. And we've agreed on things. Bottom line for me is this. For the next 4 years, I am not going to sit here and argue. You can talk all you want. Any other council member can. About how legislation I or anyone else brings forward is detrimental to the executive or detrimental to the council president. With all deference to everybody in the room, I don't have time to try to draft legislation or be involved to go after you or the executive. That's not what I'm about. That's not what I'm going to spend my time on. If people want to paint it that way, have a ball doing it. But I'm not going to spend my time dealing with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Councilmember Kirkpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President, and yes. Welcome to the chamber.
Thank you so much.
Two things come to mind when I look at this. 2 years ago, I was elected to this council. I came in, and Powell was the issue. I was on the Powell board, had been on the Powell board previously, off for several years and back on again. I had to resign the Powell board in order to make some decisions for Powell. This was an entity that in the 20 years, however long the last Powell building was built, there was a contract for services, a contract that said the county gets a certain portion of the building, Powell gets another portion of the building. Little by little, Powell got edged out, the county came in. The county was no longer able to have services within the public schools, so they took the time from Powell, taking away Powell's ability to rent that space and make money. Ultimately, Powell was in a detrimental spiral going down. This was a contract that had a clause in it. It never had to be relooked at. It went on and on and on, and things that happened 20 years ago that were put into the contract were not looked at until this past year. We have a general manager that did an excellent job of negotiating between the county and Powell to get this straightened out. These are the kinds of things that can happen when there are contracts that have no end to them, that never have to be looked at, that never have to be renewed, but just are allowed to continue to go on and on and on. There can be general managers that do a wonderful job of relooking at these contracts. There can be general managers that, if it's in place, they feel they don't have to look at it. As a legislative branch, part of our responsibility is for the welfare of the people within this county. Powell had a welfare also. They were looking out for people within this county, and we let them spiral out of control. They fell because of the inaction of this county. Another one that comes to mind, and this goes back to my state days, was Liera Farm. They built a community and they were allowed to put in a private sewer system. Nobody kept up that private sewer system. It failed. Those people ended up with no sewer, and who's going to bail them out? Newcastle County. So when we look at private agreements between developments that we allowed to be built and something like a private sewer company that's allowed to handle the sewer for that community, why would we not have the ability to go in and make it very clear that if they, the private company, does not do their job, we are not going to pick up at our cost the fallout? So just two examples that this legislation, I think, deals with in our ability to look at contracts. Recently, through the General Assembly, we had legislation put in so that through land use, they had the ability to look at contracts, something that we never had in this county before. I think this falls in line with some of the things that we have done through the General Assembly over the past year.
Thank you so much for your comment, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President.
And Councilman Hollins.
Yes. Every person has a first day on the job. This is your first day. I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir.
And welcome again.
Thank you.
Councilman Street has drawn attention to the Brandywine 100 amendment to the capital budget and the monies that are in that project, and in a general way questioned the, you know, where the money's been spent and who got the benefits of that. And I think Those are legitimate questions. And when I look at this ordinance that Councilman Smiley has sponsored, that ordinance will give them the ability to ask those questions because the administration will have to come and we can review contracts more minutely to see how minority participation is, how they're awarded, and so forth. So I'm just sort of feeling like this empowers council to do good things and ensure equal opportunity and contracting, and I don't see that the two are, you know, that this is incompatible. We're not tying anybody's hands. We're getting greater scrutiny over the contracting process. All to the good.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Hollins, please.
Welcome, Mr. President, and thank you very much. The way I see this particular piece of legislation pretty much is in sync with what's the responsibility of this council. This is not a monolithic government. You have a council, which is the legislative branch. You have an executive, which is the executive branch of government. Our role, specifically, is to be checks and balances and oversight. The way I've seen things happen in the time that I've been here, there has been consistent changes. There's nothing to say that anybody said anything is wrong, but I think there's always room for improvement. In all of our systems across this government, we're continually trying to improve with the onslaught of the new computer age and so forth. So there's nothing wrong here. But this is an opportunity to give county council greater oversight, which I think will lead to a better government and better governing. I don't think that county council's role here is to support everything that the executive branch says. Our role here is to make certain there's a check and a balance. We're not monolithic government. If the county executive disagrees with council's action, he has another tool that is called a veto. And then he sends it back and try to override the veto. But to say that we're taking an action here, which is our responsibility, we cannot tie the county executive's, the county exec's hand, nor can we tie your hands. You have the equal opportunity of every one of the 13 members of council sitting here to bring forth legislation as has been brought forth tonight on this entire agenda, and it's voted up or down. I've experienced here, being here on the county council, the lack of diversity, the lack of opportunity. Because of these contracts, we need to have greater oversight. And when we get to the next one, I can give you the examples of what's going on here when we spend tens of millions of dollars in special services. And for all these years, I've been asking them to correct that system, and they keep saying they're going to get around to it. They haven't got around to it yet. The last time I said I was going to vote for another thing that comes through special services, they changed the ordinance to include language to make it specific clear when we build a new paramedic station with the support and the partnership with the Christiana Center, the language went into that center to let them know that this government is serious about diversity. So all this other stuff that's going on, we're spending tens of millions of dollars. And when you get the spend analysis, less than 3% of that is going to people of color. Less than 3% have given opportunity, whether it be jobs or whether it be procurement. And we had critical people in those positions working on that. But that department in particular has not moved a single iota and is still existing today. So anything that gives this council greater oversight is what I'm going to support on both pieces of this legislation. And I mean, when Chris Coons came here as a county exec, this council went through a number of changes as relates to oversight, as relates to procurement. And because this council did that, it could be argued, well, we didn't do it because we didn't like Chris Coons, or we didn't do it because Chris Coons is a lawyer. I think we did it because we felt the need to have greater oversight, and history will show you that this council has stepped up, particularly in the last 8 years when the new council members came on board. Before that, you only had to get to 4, which was easy. Now you got to get to 7. And all of these people that are here came from different places with different ideas, as I did myself. But I would not second guess the intent of any of these council people here. What I would do, vote for it or vote against it if I don't like it.
Thank you, Mr. Hollins. Mr. Street. Excuse me, Mr. Street. Can you all hear him out there? Who's responsible for the mic system here?
I don't know why it's not working.
He is.
It's on now. Councilman, please speak up, sir.
Councilman Cartier talked about $65 million and how this legislation would positively impact review. Well, yeah, you got his $65 million. It's gone. They up and running. So, in the meantime, the sewer in Minkwoodale, in Dunleaf, and in my district falling down all over the place. So, after it's already done, now we make the change. As to the system of checks and balances, I'm just saying, why now? We ain't checked nothing and haven't balanced anything. We haven't changed anything. Not a single line item. Not a single amendment in 8 years. So where's the system of checks and balances? I am just as concerned about minority participation, jobs, contracts, etc., as Councilman Hollins and the other members of this council have been. But what's in this legislation in 106 and 107, in my opinion, doesn't help it any. It's silent as to any checks and balances on actually who's working and how that's going to be accomplished there. And if anything, it decreases the opportunity for small businesses and minority businesses to participate in contracts because of the lower limit. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Councilman Powers. After Councilman Powers, we'll move to action.
And I can't get this thing to come on.
Commitment.
I can't
comment.
Get.
It's two of us.
You're working. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't really going to say anything, but a couple of people brought up Lear. Lear, at the time, the Public Service Commission didn't regulate sewers. It came to council with a sewage treatment plan, and council adopted it, knowing that Newcastle County would take it over. That's what then going through the board. So this situation will never take care of the problem that we had. The error was on the plan at the time, and what it went down was trying to get the Public Service Commission to take it, but they weren't even involved at the time. They did not regulate sewers. But
President Bolt, I respect your
Mr. Smiley,
but I would like to respond. Number one, we weren't here when council approved, but they approved the Lear Farms plan with that septic. The separate contract that was there. And the irony is to say that the council knew it, ironically. It was in the law department to the courts for months. Now, it was clear to me in the contract, but the contract was not part of that plan, to the best of my knowledge, because I wasn't here. But like I said, council argued it. This makes it very clear. This makes it very clear. If you're going to have anything like that, we do get to see it and be brought to our attention. That's it. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I respect you, and we do need
Thank
to
you.
Move on.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. The floor is now open for public comment before Mr. Powers has another comment.
Mm-hmm. At the time, the councilman at the time did not want the plan passed. It was passed by the majority of the rest of the jury. It
had nothing to do with me.
But the council did not do the regular law.
And that's why we're...
Ms. Street, then Ms. Kilpatrick.
I have one more thing.
Yes.
Okay. Declare an emergency. $100,000. Declare an emergency. $500,000. Oh, the sewer pipe broke going across the creek. Declare an emergency. These two don't comport. That doesn't go away. And if there's any latitude for mischief, the term declare an emergency leaves that door swinging wide open.
Councilmember Kilpatrick, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
I think that when we talk about what has happened in the past, we talk about that because we know what happened in the past. If you listen to the discussion on Lear Farms, you will hear that, you know, we didn't, it was something that we never anticipated. Now we know that those kinds of things can happen. We are in a whole different world. It may not happen with another sewer, but it's going to happen with something else. And if we have the ability to say, you as a private entity cannot make Newcastle County responsible for something when it fails, I would rather see that happen up front than be in court over and over and over again. And as you're here longer, you will realize how many times we are in court because Nobody has a second thought about suing Newcastle County. So I think that if we can, anything that you have a second set of eyes on that can look at these things and can say, I could see that down the line something is going to go wrong, let's put another pair of eyes on it to see if somebody picks it up. We're an extremely diverse group. We have professions from previous lives or present lives that give us some history into all different factions of things that can go wrong. Things that I have no clue about, Councilman Sheldon has major knowledge of. It's that combination of all 13 people looking at a contract that can come together to say, I think we're going down the wrong path or this is dangerous, but never think that something isn't going to go as wrong as Liera Farms went, because eventually it will.
Thank you so much. I see Mr. Retta has his hand up. Mr. Retta,
yeah.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask the counselor, county counsel, the counselor on number four, on the second page of 106. It says all contracts executed. Am I reading it wrong? Can you explain it to me?
This requires council approval for any contracts that would provide liability to the county in the event that the primary party to the contract fails.
Well, it says all contracts, number four, item number
right,
four.
All contracts executed on behalf of the county that contain a provision that in the event of a default by the other party to the contract would require the county to assume responsibility for financial obligations for which it would not otherwise be responsible. That's one of the reasons under this ordinance that council would be approving a contract. It must approve contracts that contain that clause in it.
Right, but when the way I read it on that right now, I'm no lawyer, but I can take this apart and say that if I'm a contractor, the county assumes responsibility if I default. I think that's what we're trying to avoid here. Am I correct?
That is what you're trying. That's what this ordinance would avoid. This would require council to approve a contract under which the county would assume responsibility. This is the second page.
Right.
And the lead-in is no contract which requires approval of council shall be executed, nor shall any work be started until approved by resolution of council. The following contracts will require the approval, and that's all contracts which would require the county to assume responsibility for fiscal obligations for which it would not otherwise be liable. So this body would be required to approve any contract that would place fiscal liability on the county if the primary party would default.
So in other words, what you're saying is if they default, we can say we don't want it.
The council could not approve the contract.
Right.
Correct.
I just wanted to
clear it up. Any more questions, Mr. Retta?
No, I just wanted to clear it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Bell.
Mr. President, I'll try to be brief. You know, I can't sit here without not consciously saying what I got to say, and the fact remains, this is inauguration day of a new county administration and a new council president, and all the items that have been brought up here tonight are past tense. They didn't just happen in this past week or past 2 weeks, but we have to have an ordinance in place tonight to vote to change the $50,000 threshold, to change the way we look at contracts, because it has to be done tonight. We can't allow a new administration a courtesy to come into office and sit down and speak with them about any inefficiencies that we think could be corrected. We can't sit down as a council with our new president and speak about inefficiencies that we think could be improved. This has to be done tonight. Liera Farms didn't just happen yesterday, and neither did some of the other examples that were brought forth tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bell. Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. In terms of the timing, there's a process here when legislation is introduced and then when it's voted on. There's time to discuss that legislation. I don't believe our legislative process is tied into any election cycle. As a matter of fact, there's a law for 48 years old that determined that today was the day that the new county executive would take office. So you can't claim that this is tied into today, this inaugural day. The fact of the matter is that a lot of people who left Newcastle County on Friday because of this law that I think is very insensitive, they were told on Friday that Friday was their last day. None of us didn't have this discussion about when the new county executive was going to come in until 2 or 3 weeks ago when someone revealed this legislation that's been around for the last 48 years. It's the first time it's ever been used. So to suggest that somehow we're going to do legislation and not do legislation simply because there was an election, I don't think that's the way we govern. It's not tied into elections. I mean, down in the General Assembly, the members of the General Assembly get some of them every 2 years, some every four. I think it would be unwise to say that, well, let's wait for 30 more days or 6 more weeks. When do we start doing the people's business? I didn't run this time around. Isn't that going to wait for me? It's not the way this works. It's all about doing the people's business. You vote it up, then you vote it down. If you think it has merit, you vote for it. If you think it don't, you vote against it. But all these other sidebar conversations has nothing to do with what we're attempting to do here.
Thank you, Mr. Hollins. Mr. Street, and then Mr. Shelton.
Why do that?
Mr. Street, election or no election? To my knowledge, even in this arena, there is no prohibition on common courtesy, mutual respect, and common sense. And if $25,000 to $50,000 threshold is one standard, but if the objective is really to close the door on potential mischief, so long as you have the words declare an emergency and or sole source bidder, until we have discussion on those two items, the so-called purpose is not going to be met. And, you know, I'm going to say this, folks have made their argument, but I continue to have no respect for folks that throw stones and then hide their hand.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Mr. Shelby.
Congratulations on the new job.
Thank you.
See, that was, you were flying along, and then this happened.
Doing the best I could.
And the next one will be just as long, probably, and we'll just say the same thing. Look, I said it upstairs, and both have great arguments. The problem is, you know, looking at this over and over again, I see the benefit a little bit of what Mr. Smalley's saying, but also to see the benefit of what Mr. Street's saying. And that's what confuses me a little bit, but I can see where the Evergreen does help out, but it wouldn't help out on existing contracts that's already in place anyway. If there's another Lear Farms that we don't really know about right now, if it goes belly up, guess what? We own that. The thing that I get to is, you're right, Mr. Hollins is right in one way in saying, you know what, the government doesn't stop. But the only thing is it just seems, I really wanted to get along. I don't know Mr. Gordon that well. I really don't. We've seen each other, but we've never really, besides shake hands and talk, minister stuff. I don't know you, and I don't know Mr. Gordon that well. And I always want to be the glass half full. I really do tonight. I said this to Mrs. Kirkpatrick upstairs, that I'm torn because I do want to see this glass half full. And I think with this going on, I respect Mr. Hollins immensely, but I just don't see why there hasn't been even a bill that's come before us to be able to do anything that amounts to why it goes from 50 to 25 when we've heard from administration services that's burdensome, it's going to cost money. Now, be it to may, you do need oversight. But we haven't done anything wrong to be able to question the oversight. And that's why I agree, why can't it wait? It's not, you know, we're going to hear arguments about it. But that's my thought on the whole thing, is why.
Thank you. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
The bill that we're discussing, 106, is not the bill that takes the oversight from 50 to 25. That would be 107. So as we're voting, just please be clear that we are voting on 106, not a combination of 106 and 107.
Thank you for that. Mr. Weiner, do you have any comments? I'd like to hear from everybody on this tonight. Mr. Tackett, if you want to speak, and Councilmember Dillard, if you want to chime in. This is critical. Yeah. I think everybody.
Yeah. Sure. I'll be happy to make a comment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
You caught me by surprise. Usually people don't want to hear me talk.
I didn't want... is there a motion of amen on that? I didn't want you to go to sleep. You have the floor, sir.
Right. I'm going to support this ordinance and the next one because I think it's all about good government and for us to help do our job in terms of oversight. And if anything that I was quoted as saying was contrary to that, then it was an error on my part. But I think these are good government measures, and I'm pleased that Councilman Smiley has taken a lead, and I intend to support both of them.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Tack, you have anything before we vote?
I love the freshness of you, Mr. President.
Yes. You're welcome, sir.
Moving around the room here. I think everybody said quite a bit on this. I think, obviously, you know, we're going to have to pull this down as our votes, as they come down as to where we feel we stand on these and where our initiatives are. You know, there's been a lot already said, a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. Gosh, we've been all over the place with this. This poor ordinance has been lumped in with other ones that we haven't even reviewed yet. One thing that does concern me a little bit that has been said here is not even relating back to this ordinance, but, you know, Council President, you are part of this body. You're with us. This is the legislative branch. Welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Dillard, would you like to make any comments? You have the opportunity now, please.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You'll find that I speak when I have something to say. I've made up my mind on this and the next ordinance, and I'm good. Thank you.
You're welcome. That tells me we're ready for any public comment. You now have the opportunity to come forth. Any public comment on this issue? Being none, I close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 12106.
Mr. Bell.
No.
Mr. Bullock.
Present.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
No.
Mr. Retta.
Present.
Mr. Sheldon.
Present.
Mr. Smiley.
Yeah, the fence is already full. I'm voting yes.
Mr. Street.
No.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call revealed 7 yes, 3 present, 3 no.
7-6. Therefore, 112 is approved.
It's adopted.
Let's move on. 112-107. Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. I request to substitute 1 to 12-107 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to ordinance 12-107 of the Montgomery County County Code, Chapter 2, Administration, Article 2, County Council regarding threshold amounts of contracts approved by County Council.
comment is question, counsel.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm going to...
Mr. Smiley.
I'll just read the synopsis into the record because it's very clear. This ordinance lowers the dollar amount for required council approval of certain contracts from $50,000 to $25,000 in recognition of the increased need for checks and balances in light of the current economy. The substitute changes code language on the time period to determine the threshold aggregate amount from any 12-month period to a single fiscal year for greater efficiency. Initially, it was 12-month period, which would have been rolling. And my conversations with Yvonne Gordon, I had to agree that how burdensome that would be to keep tracking from year to year to year to year. So that change has been made. I'm just going to say, initially, when this was brought forward by Councilwoman Vineski, it was $25,000. And we all had all these nightmare scenarios about how they couldn't do it, how they couldn't make it work. And we moved it to $50,000. And we continue to hear the nightmare scenarios. But we passed it. And this council has had years of being able to overlook those contracts and be aware of them. So we're going, this just takes it back to $25,000. And I hold out the same olive branch that I did earlier on the other one. I've asked the department, if they find this to be an issue, if they find it to be burdensome, come back to us in 6 months. Work with me. Let's work to keep council efficient and council's oversight there. I don't know there will be a lot of discussion. There's actually already been a lot of discussion on this. But
there. Smiley, could you share with us some of the details of your discussion with Mrs. Gordon, please, and share with the council and the public her title and role in the county government?
Well, she was in charge of purchasing. That was her job. She called. We had some discussion. She did say that this ordinance, the additional work, could lead to the need for another person, but they don't really know because they don't. You never know how many contracts that you're going to get. But one of the big concerns was that the way it was initially put it forward with the 12 months, it was a rolling 12 months. Didn't say calendar year, so they would have had to keep track of contracts. This is only doing it during the fiscal year, so it puts a parameter around that time frame. And that's it. Again, you know, I'm willing to, if it's an undue burden, fine, come back. But I don't believe it's anywhere near the amount of contracts that they're saying. But bottom line is, this council wants oversight. We're concerned about who's getting the contracts, whether female-owned, minority-owned, or getting the contracts or whatever. We'll know. We're still not going to know that until after they're awarded, but this will sure allow us another level of review to see what contracts in that level are going out there.
So, thank you, Mr. Smiley.
That's what it is.
Thank you. Any other comments, counsel? Public comment? I'm sorry, Mr. Street. I didn't see your hand, sir. You have the floor.
Several years ago, I had a lot to say and was upset about the fact that, as Councilman Holland said, in procurement, the presentation that we got, it was the level of minority participation was less than 4%. And we had all these grandiose ideas. Folks were going to work with community organizations and community groups, and they were going to do right by man, God, and country, and it was going to improve. Several years later, it's still less than 4%, or somewhere around that 4% threshold. Pass this, if we will, and next year this time, it'll be, in my opinion, 4% or less, because this is not going to do one thing to improve the level of minority participation, to improve the level of jobs. And when you take away the latitude from the administration to let $50,000 contracts, what you're actually doing is reducing the likelihood of the smaller businesses, the minority business, and limiting them to the $25,000 as opposed to being able to deal with the $50,000 because of the paperwork. So now it's going to end up
those that do participate, they're going to be reduced to this $25,000 limit and won't get much more. So my guesstimate is that it's, as opposed to it being 4% of the total dollar amount, it'll end up being less.
Thank you.
Mr. Smiley.
Again, this does not restrain the county from doing $50,000, $25,000, from companies putting in for it. I don't see it as a burden. I don't think it's going to adversely impact. And I sit here right now and tell you and everyone else, I would welcome discussion and supporting an ordinance that could legally address the issue of minority participation and the jobs. So, somebody draft it, put it together, and bring it.
Well, that might be my first piece of legislation, because I'm very sensitive to that, and we have to be inclusive in all that we do in this county, particularly around contracts and procurement. Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I agree with Councilman Street on this issue for the most part. We did pass the Responsible Contractors Bill, and I talked to Councilman Sheldon about that.
What was that, Mr. Hollins?
Responsible Contractors Ordinance, which, and I think that's what Councilman Street is alluding to. We've passed legislation before that still hadn't gotten us to where we would like to be. But what I think is, it's an ongoing challenge for all of us. I don't think diversity is a place where you end up like a location. I think it's a continuum that you don't really ever get there. But I've had conversations with Mr. Shelton, who was the primary sponsor of that legislation, to say that to this day we still have not achieved what we were trying to achieve. And he agrees, and we still have to work on that. But I think this is another tool in the toolbox. I think it's incumbent upon this county to use every tool there is at our disposal to try to get to a level of diversity that's representative of the people who live in Newcastle County. I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, when Pettinero was doing this downtown, whatever it's called here on Rodney Square at the old courthouse, when he came to us for conduit funds, and when I said to him, we need to have your diversity plan, it wasn't the federal government saying it. It was me saying to this contractor, it was me saying to the same another contractor using the same source down at the deck. And all, most of this money that we received from the federal government was actually built right here in my district in this section of Wilmington. The fact of the matter is, if I had not spoken up, there would have been no diversity plan. There would have been no diversity of employment. And when Pettinero brought back forth his diversity plan, me and most of the rest of these council members here did not accept it. It was not adequate. He didn't think we were serious. Then when he realized when he came here that we voted it down, he was shocked we weren't. Here's what you need to go. Go and bring us a diversity plan that's meaningful. You're not going to do this building down here on the old courthouse, not hire people that live right here in the back door of this courthouse. And when I talked to him, it's all because I drive this way coming to the office. And I said to him, I've driven by there two or three times. I see everybody sitting out there having lunch. I've yet to see a black person sitting out there having lunch. Let me know how many people are being hired there of color. And that's how that process started, and that's what we used when we used these stimulus dollars, that we included that. No, it's not the catch-all, but it's the beginning, and it says to anyone who wants to do business with Newcastle County that we are serious about divestiture in South Africa. I'm sorry, I got it mixed up. But the point is, we have to start somewhere. It's not a thing where I'm naive enough to think that, well, somehow this is going to get us to where we're trying to get to. But I think every tool that we can get to, and as I said earlier, every tool we can get to, I've experienced enough of this stuff, and I agree with Councilman Street, it hasn't moved. But if we don't speak up and say something, not only will it not move, it may go back. So as far as I'm concerned, this is just another tool to help us to achieve what is a long way off from being equal opportunity for everybody in Newcastle County.
Thank you for that, Mr. Holland. Mr. Street.
I agree with everything Councilman Howell said. We took that on, and we accomplished what we accomplished. But I don't see what that has to do with $25,000 or $50,000. It was millions of dollars worth of bonds.
And in the most recent situation, when we did what we did with the paramedic station and right outside the Middletown area, and we had all this discussion about Christina Care and we giving them the money, and I said, if you want to know who's going to be working, go right over here to 14th and Washington, and you'll see who's not working, and that's what you're going to get in the instant situation. So how does $25,000 versus $50,000 get us to a resolution on that? I respectfully suggest it does not, and it will not.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Any more discussion? Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just for the record, once again, Administrative Services was asked about this particular ordinance and lowering from $50,000 to $25,000. Were they experiencing any problems whatsoever at this point in time? Did they see this as an improvement? And we basically got the same answers we did on the contracts. Lowering this to $25,000, I don't think accomplishes what's being said here. I think it's just changing it from $50,000 to $25,000. We didn't do it last administration. Now we got to do it this administration.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Any other discussion? Mr. Dillard.
Yes, I have to admit, I've always had a problem with this $50,000 limit. I've had a problem with it when I worked in state government, and there was very little I could do about it, but here I can do something about it. I really think that when you're handing out, in this economic climate, contracts of $50,000, and, you know, I think oftentimes contracts of $50,000 could perhaps be contracts of $25,000, and nobody would suffer for it. So I'm willing to go with this ordinance because I want to see whether we actually lower our costs by lowering the contract amount.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, public, would you like to comment on this? Please come forward. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please read. Call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Bullock?
Present.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? No. Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Present.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
No.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 8 yes, 2 present, 3 no.
Approved. 12108, Mr. Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, I'd like ordinance number 12-108 to be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 12108, amend the annual FY 2013 operating budget, realign the FY 2013 appropriation to the Department of Special Services by $245,106 to reflect the proper level of funding for the division of fleet.
Yes, Mr. Cartier. Yes, Mr. President, members of council, as discussed in the Finance Committee, this realignment of the FY 2013 appropriation in the Department of Special Services reflects the outsourcing of fleet parts. We have in Newcastle County a very large motor fleet, and this reflects the privatization of that fleet parts function. And the savings, essentially, in a nutshell, the savings realized from personnel savings are shifted in order to handle the cost associated with the private vendor services. And I think if members of council have further detail they require, I'd throw a lifeline out to special services, and they're willing to come up and offer that testimony.
Council questions, comments? Floor is now open for public comment.
Mr. President.
I'm sorry. Councilman.
Yes. When I got up to the committee services meeting, this was just being wrapped up, and I didn't get to address a question of concern I had at that point. I've heard the sponsor mention that
personnel costs are being shifted in order to cover the outsourcing costs. Is that all we're doing here, is just a little shuffling of numbers?
Please proceed. State your name. You have 3 minutes of time and will be placed on the speaker's podium. The yellow light indicates that you have 30 seconds remaining. Please proceed.
Good evening, I'm Mike Swaby from the Department of Special Services. Councilman Tackett, the answer is we're simply shifting money from one pocket to the other. There were some positions that were left vacant. One person retired. Another person was separated probably 2 or 2.5 years beforehand. One person remained. The savings in salary and benefits for those two vacant positions, combined with the savings from some deferred vehicle and equipment procurement, deferred not for reasons to fund this change, but for technical reasons and challenges with the procurement, have allowed us to shift in the direction of funding this outsourcing. We've got savings to date, after 3 months of accounting for it, of roughly $19,000 a month in parts procurement alone. We're establishing performance measures that will allow us to compare what the vendor is doing with a free hand of procurement, as opposed to the encumbrances of having to go out to bid and be tied to a single vendor. They can chase the single cheapest part on the market. They've committed in the contract to selling us the parts for cost and sharing all documentation with us. We know exactly what the fixed fee is that they're earning on this. Their personnel arrangement is cheaper than ours. And in point of fact, it's a very physically challenging environment. We've had many challenges with retaining personnel in full working order because of occupational dangers, where they've hurt themselves, or you know, they get overexhausted in the work environment because there's heat in the summer and it's cold in the winter, and they're opening overhead doors and so forth. All those risks and challenges have been passed on to the vendor that have to meet our requirements under contract.
So am I understanding that you're adding $250,000 to their contract in order to cover the additional costs that weren't anticipated?
No, I don't exactly have the numbers in front of me that are on the ordinance there, but
well, I'm just rounding it up. $245,000, so
we're no longer having to pay out the numbers to the people that used to have the jobs. That amount is being shifted over to pay for their people.
Okay, let me just rephrase the question, because there's only a yes or no answer.
Okay, sure.
The contract that you awarded for this vendor, are you now requesting an additional $250,000 because the contract is costing you more than you anticipated?
No.
Okay.
It's not costing more than we anticipated.
So why do you need $250,000 more dollars?
We've got salary costs to pay them, which are cheaper. We have yet to experience the full benefit of the parts costs. What we've seen so far, annualized, we expect will meet or exceed the additional amount of money we're having to put in. We're putting money into contract services, which is what the ordinance is about, because this service was not contracted out before. But we're shifting it more than half, probably 60%, from existing funds that we used to support the operation before.
How long has this been contracted out for?
It was awarded the second week of July, 2012.
Okay.
So it's still in its infancy.
Okay. I think we just got on the same page with that answer, because I thought this was longer than that. And all right.
Ms. Cartier, Mr. Bell.
Yes, so I'd like to direct Councilman Tackett's attention to the fiscal note. There's no fiscal impact upon the adoption of this legislation. In fact, what we're realizing is some savings on the procurement of parts.
That's correct.
And I just see that. We're shuffling numbers.
Mr. Tackett.
I've seen that. We're shuffling numbers. We're moving savings from salaries over there, so that is a neutral. If you were paying the salaries, it would cost you.
That's correct.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Management Consulting, Mancon,
yes.
Where are they located?
Yes.
They're located in Virginia. They've established an operation here.
Okay, and Virginia, and they're actually the ones that are going to run our parts operation?
Yes, they have been since July.
Okay, and do we have any idea, I mean, is there any other parts distribution consulting firm here in the state of Delaware?
The actual award of this requirement was advertised through the standard professional services arrangement. We had two bidders, two proposers. One of them was NAPA, that was responsible for the Mid-Atlantic region, and the other was Management Consultants, Inc.
Okay. Thank you.
Are we pleased with their work?
Thus far, yes.
Mr. Powers and Ms. Street and Mr. Retta.
Nobody lost a job. One of those three people retired. The second position had been vacant for well over 2 years prior to us considering doing this. The third person remains on the job as the check and balance to the vendor.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. Ms. Street, I'm sorry.
I'm pretty, upset about this, and it is the same thing as Jenny. We need to start adding some points to things that are in our county on bidding some of these things. Because every time we bought equipment, that if you bid it out, you have to, you can't just advertise it, you have to wait. From a dealership on northern New Jersey, and a dealership that's in Delaware's in Bridgeville, and they never invited them to bid on it. That person can't come in unless there's an invitation to bid. I hear contractors going to New Jersey. The New Jersey contracts get 10 points higher just because they're from New Jersey. But we don't do anything for that within this own county and state. So, it's just getting. We need to look at jobs,
as
somebody said, within our own area.
I
agree with you.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. Mr. Street, Mr. Retta, do you have any knowledge to minority participation in their workforce and in their contracts?
No, sir, I don't.
Did you ask for any?
I'd have to go back and see what the requirements were for the original bid advertisement. I can't answer the question.
So, and if I were to argue that it appears on the service and within the contracts over the years that special services lets that minority participation is of no moment, would you want to argue with that?
I prefer to defer the question actually to purchasing. I thought they were here a moment ago. They don't seem to be at the moment. they may be able to more readily identify what was in that original advertisement.
Is purchasing here?
No.
And Mr. President, Mr. Street.
The will of council is the will of council. Okay, but I'm not going to support, number one, eliminating two jobs, and here again, special services moving $245,000 like it's monopoly money because special services does what special services wants to do like it's their money. We eliminate the salary so we can buy parts. We can do whatever we want to do.
Anything else, Mr. Street? Mr. Retta.
Thank you.
And then Mr. Merritt will come.
I have to agree with Councilman Powers on Delawarean contractors or Delaware firms getting jobs. I'm all for that. I've always been for that. The other is I would like to ask special services if we could every 6 months get it up to date on the contractor who's doing the work. On the cost factor, if it's going to go up, and how it is. I mean, you'll probably have to send that to the finance department and they send it to us, but I would like to know because usually with an outside contractor, the first year is always a sweet year, but the second year, the price usually goes up. So that's why I would like to look at this at least every 6 months.
And I believe, Mike, you said upstairs it was a 2-year contract?
That's correct.
Okay. So I would like to, I'd like to have Adam requesting that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Merritt. Wayne Merritt, Acting General Manager of Special Services. Just to clarify one point. When we prepare our budgets, and we're starting to prepare our budget for 2014 now, we prepared the budget for our employees to be in place. We're moving salaries. In other words, the contract wasn't let, I don't believe, until late June. So the budget reflected at that time our employees still continuing to work. When we let the contract, we have to move salary savings to contractual where we had not put the money. So that's where those $245,000 comes from.
But isn't the fact that the budget started July 1, so during the budget presentation and budget hearings, if you didn't have those folks in place, then you know, then you knew, and you should have known, that you weren't going to improve them in July. So wasn't this kind of preconceived on the part of the department?
No, sir. No, sir. The fact is, I don't know the exact date, but it was sometime in late June, I think, when we finally came to final conclusions with our contractor. The discussions had been going on, but we weren't sure that the contract was going to be let until sometime in June. The budget was set. Council passed the budget in May, and the budget reflected those positions being county employees. We then, once we came to the contract, were able to move that one employee. One had retired, one was vacant. So those salary dollars were in the salary line. We are moving salary dollars into contractual dollars. We can't just spend them contractual on a certain rate account.
Okay, so it's your representation to this council tonight that two things were in play when you made your budget presentation. One, you had no idea that the positions, there was a potential for the person to retire and the vacancy not to be filled. And two, you had no idea at the time of your budget presentation that there was a possibility you have a need for this contract.
Oh, absolutely. We knew that there was a possibility, but it wasn't a contract. We could just as well not have reached the contract agreement, and on July 1, we would have had to have employees in place to continue to issue parts.
Councilman Street, just to add something to the first part of your question. The person that retired announced her retirement roughly 5 days before it came effective. Had we decided to proceed with the contract, not knowing she was going to retire, there was intentions and ongoing efforts to try to locate meaningful employment at the same pay grade for everyone that this would have affected, much like we did for the person that remained on staff.
You may convince my colleagues, and you may convince the general public, okay? But those two, with a budget presentation in May, and this kind of drastic change from salary to contract within a 60-day period of time does not comport with me. The two just don't comport.
Any other questions for the presenters? Mr. Powers.
When was it advertised to go out to bid for the...
Excuse me for 1 minute, I have my notes in the back.
Cool.
Requirement was advertised on the 24th of June, 2011. Management Consultants, Inc. was awarded the agreement over its only competing proposal from NAPA on the 16th of November, 2011. Their on-site work started July 5th, 2012.
Well, please note, even though a contract is awarded, it's not necessarily going to be settled and signed. And we did not reach that until sometime in June.
As a matter of fact, there was a special meeting that was held at the garage with the county executive president at the time. And there was a request by members of Fleet Services to reevaluate the option. And that was done. And we believed and still believe that there's fiscal and operational viability to this.
What is the total contract amount?
There's actually not an amount. The way it's set up is for a two-year term for them to sell us parts at cost. And they flow through the labor charges, which they've totally disclosed to us, with the fixed fee. The contract doesn't have a specific value to it, other than it says we're going to pay their labor, parts at cost, and fixed fee.
Let me try it this way. The contract, it's not a specific dollar amount that they receive. The money we are moving is simply a line movement from a salary for county employees into the contractual services, which is where they will be paid out of under the 400 line, which is contractual services. From the 200 line, 100 line, which is a county salary.
I mean, there's still a cost.
Absolutely, there's a cost.
The cost is for the...
The fact of the matter is they have personnel costs. Their personnel costs were less than our personnel costs, number one. The parts is
Mr. President, point of order, could you please answer the question?
Is that a non-union shop or union shop?
It's a non-union.
Non-union.
So what's the percentage over the parts, and what is our average parts we'll buy?
Most certainly.
Fixed fee is around $210,000 for the entire contract. The parts are being sold at cost, which they've agreed to allow us to verify at any time. We've done so thus far for the first 3 months of the agreement. And the labor is directly flow through exactly what they're paying their employees. So, say for instance, if we added employees, we'd pay more labor, but the fixed fee would stay the same. If parts go up and down in the market like the same way they would for us if we purchased them, but we'd be tied to a single vendor and could do nothing about it, that would happen either way, whether it's directly purchased and run by us or it's purchased by them. The advantage to having it purchased by them is they can chase the lowest cost. They're incented to do that. The entire fee of what it's going to cost to pay the contractor to do this work is the amount we're moving, some of which we had in salaries, some of which was resulted from deferred vehicle and equipment procurement. The total is right in the ordinance.
How much?
Sorry?
Councilmember Kirkpatrick had her hand up first, then Mr. Street. Mr. Powers, are you done? I'm sorry. Okay, we'll come back to you.
We'll come back to you. Thank you, Mr. President. Okay, let me just go through this as it's going through my head and tell me if I'm wrong. If we were going to do this in-house, we would have to have had the person, two people, the one that retired and the one that is still there. And we would have had to have bought our own parts. So you now are outsourcing it. So we need one oversight person within the county. We're paying for personnel from Mancon, and we are getting the parts from them at cost, which the assumption is that they can buy cheaper because they buy bulk because they are, that's their business.
Exactly.
So we have a line in the current budget to pay, I would presume, for the two people that you assumed were going to be there, and you have a line that you would have purchased the product, the parts, out of. You cannot any longer use the personnel money to buy, to go with this contract, which buys parts, unless legally you move the money from the personnel line to the contractor contracts line.
That's correct.
And the assumption is, in your assessment, that by outsourcing, ultimately, since it's one special services pot of money, take away which line it's in, by outsourcing this, moving things around a little with personnel and funding and not having to purchase parts, we as a county should be saving money, and the sunset on this is 2 years.
That's the term of the basic contract. I'm sorry if I was unclear. $245,106 is the entire labor and fixed fee cost to award. The parts budget is still the parts budget. It's the same parts budget we had before. We expect to not exceed it, but minimize it. We're paying $245,106, not for three slots like we had. We've got four slots. We have full-time operation. The parts room is completely secure from the time it opens at 7 in the morning till 11 at night. With the three slots and only two people we had, we couldn't run a two-shift parts operation that was secure, essential for securing inventory and making sure it's fully accounted for. They have accepted full accountability for the inventory. We did a mutual inventory, agreed on what belonged to the county. We turned it over to them. They're discharging our parts first, free of charge. They're buying parts as though those parts are depleted. They're doing it in a secure environment, and they're doing it for labor and fixed fee of $245,106.
So really, this is no less than when we have had concessions come in to run a park or anything else that we've gone out to bid on, and the assumption is always that we are looking at the most economically efficient way to do the business.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Powers?
The first 3 months.
I'm
What I mentioned earlier today, and this is a matter of fact, not conjecture, but the first 3 months of operation, albeit very immature at this point, we saved on average $19,000 per month in parts procurement only. So we're doing well, and we're now on the verge of mutually establishing performance measures that will allow us to routinely check the market price of those parts to make sure they're out there getting the best available deal. Again, and I don't mean to be redundant, but something that they're in a privilege to do when they're a private company, that our hands are cuffed that we can't do as a government.
Any more questions? Mr. Street, I thought Councilman Powers was asking the question, how much have we spent to date? And I didn't hear that question answered. So the question is, based on the time we signed the contract through now, separate and apart in addition to the $245,000, how much money have we already spent with this particular vendor on this particular contract?
We spent about $80,000 in labor and fee, and I don't have the exact amount of parts in front of me. But we are still within the county parts budget. The budget that never changed, whether we operated it or we contracted it.
And the initial contract was or was not approved by council, or was it placed in your budget and therefore didn't require the approval of council?
We didn't put a budget in our contract. We put dollars in our budget. I'm sorry, we didn't put a contract in our budget. We put dollars in the budget. What we brought before council and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn without purchasing being here, but I know for a fact that the opportunity to advertise this agreement took place, as it always does, for two consecutive weeks and is put on a list 10 days before we actually advertise it for council.
Any other questions? Comments? Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Cartier, anything else?
Nothing. Yes.
Madam Clerk. Any public discussion beyond? Seeing none, it's closed, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Bullock?
No.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
No.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
No.
Mr. Tackett?
No.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 8 yes, 5 no.
Approved. 12-109.
Yes, Mr. President.
Cartier.
Yes, I'd like ordinance number 12-109 read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Ordinance 12-109, amend the capital budget, appropriate $183,440 of state funding to the Brandywine 100 South Rehabilitation Phase 1 project.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is a companion ordinance to the resolution we considered earlier, and what this does is it actually appropriates the pass-through state funding to the Brandywine 100 South Rehab, Sewer Rehab Project for road repaving that was, monies were accumulated by the state legislators in the area, and this ordinance will spend the money to pave those streets.
Thank you, Mr. Cartier. Comment, question, council? Seeing none, public comment. Floor is open to you. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward now. Seeing none, the floor is closed. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you so much. Approved. 12-110, Ms. Diller.
Yes, I request that Ordinance 12-110 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 12-110, so moved. Budget appropriate $300,000 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development through the Delaware State Housing Authority to the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 3 to address housing foreclosures in Newcastle County.
Yes, as we discussed in the Finance Committee meeting, this money comes through, is HUD money through the State Housing Authority to community services. It's for the Neighborhood Stabilization 3 program. And kudos to the Community Services Department for getting the money. We have a very tight timeline here. This money must be spent by March 6th of 2013. But clearly they are able to put the money out in the streets, and let's buy up some of those homes and get people in them.
Questions, comments? Ms. Cartier?
Yes, as I said in committee, this is a vote of confidence in Newcastle County Community Services and county government. Newcastle County government, where the State Housing Authority is handing us this $300,000 pass-through grant from HUD, reflects our efficiency and ability to invest these funds in neighborhoods and stabilize neighborhoods otherwise very distressed in the wake of the housing bust.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Council, Floor is now open. Any public comment? We thank Mr. Hollins and Mr. Diller for important work. This is very important. Thank you for your work on this one. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward. Floor is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Mr. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Approved. Ordinance 12-111, Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that ordinance number 12-111 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 12-111, amendment grants budget appropriate $1 million in anticipated program income to the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 2 to address housing foreclosures in Newcastle County.
Questions, comments?
Mr. President, this would appropriate $1 million in anticipated program income from the NSP Program 2, Neighborhood Stabilization Program, to rehabilitate, reintegrate properties into the housing market for home ownership, rental of public facility use, and to provide funding for the Newcastle County Vacant Home Buyer Assistance Program. I would join my colleagues in also commending Mr. Marcus Henry, who's the general manager of our Community Services Department, along with his staff. I think that we've done an excellent job in Newcastle County. We have gotten money through from HUD through the Delaware Housing Association because we've had the ability, because of their efficiency, to get the money on the street to address this issue of foreclosing and to stabilize these neighborhoods. And I would just add that we have neighborhood stabilization 1, 2, and 3 running now simultaneously. So they have done an excellent job, and it has benefited neighborhoods throughout Newcastle County.
Mr. Henry, please stand and take a bow. Give him a big hand. Thank you, sir. Any public comment? Anyone wishing to speak on this ordinance, please come forward. Mr. Henry, I see you moving. I see you moving in your seat.
Are you ready to go home?
He's happy.
He's ready to go home, huh? We'll close it. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please read.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call vote 13 yes.
Approved. Ordinance 12-112 has been removed. We will move to 12-65. Mr. Powers.
Second.
Resolution 12-165, honoring the life of Roger Philip Foraker and expressing condolences to his family and friends.
Questions, comments? It is what it is. Thank you for honoring. Mr. Bell, 12-166.
Yes, sir, Mr. President. I move that
excuse me. My haste, got to call the roll. Go ahead. Any public comment? Seeing none, it's closed.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Rowe?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Bell, 12-166. Yes, sir.
Move that resolution number 12-166 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 12-166, honoring the life of Philip A. Thayer and expressing condolences to his family and friends.
Questions or comments?
Mr. President, Phil Thayer was involved in his lifelong career was in public education for more than 30 years. He was a kind of link that brought it all together down there in North St. George's. He was involved in the planning and the process of the North St. George's Community Redevelopment Plan. This council appointed him to the Design Review Architectural Committee of North St. George's, and he was also instrumental in reviving the St. George's Civic Association several years back. So he'll be sorely missed in the community.
Thank you, sir, for sharing that. Anyone wish to speak on the floor regarding this? Seeing none, the floor is now closed. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Bullock.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Street.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Mr. President, your party is
yes, approved. Anyone want to introduce for consideration of emergency ordinances? Council, emergency ordinances. Public comment or other? Does anyone from the public want to address the council?
We have one here.
Mr. Firestone, outstanding job.
At the risk of lengthening this meeting a few minutes longer, first wanted to congratulate the new president and especially on a well-run meeting tonight. And thank everyone on County Council and in the office, especially the aides. When I first got here, there's not much of a transition, especially in my case, but you know, the aides, every one of them offered support and help as I learned the ropes. And I wanted to thank Tom. Although he's not here tonight, I really enjoyed working for him and with all of you. So, thank you. Hope to stay in touch and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, sir. I want to introduce my aide, Anthony DeFord. Please stand. Let's welcome him. He was my deputy campaign manager. He will graduate next month, University of Delaware, Political Science. He formerly interned with Joe DePinto in Economic Development and the State Chamber of Commerce. So let's welcome him to the team as well. Thank you, Anthony.
Absolutely.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes, Mr. President. I've sat here. We've had some good spirited debates. Some things have been said. So before I leave tonight, I just want to say, comments have been made about no respect for other council members, for council members saying one thing one place, one thing another. Very clear and straightforward on the record. I stand by my 8 years on council, and I'm going to stand by my next four. I don't waver. I don't run two faces. I run one, and I take that full bore ahead with what I believe in. At the end of the night, when I go home, I don't know about everybody else, but I'm going to have what I strive to have every day. And that's the same amount of respect for that face in the mirror tonight that I had when I left home this morning. Thank you very much. Motion to adjourn.
Hold up, Mr. Smiley. We're not quite done.
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wish to thank the former Newcastle County appointed employees for their service to Newcastle County and Newcastle County residents. I realize that most of them anticipated that they would be here until the first of the year. However, the Attorney General's office has opined that a law passed by the Delaware General Assembly 48 years ago governs when a new county executive takes office. And as a result, several appointees were told on Friday that Friday would be their last day. A lot of those people had an opportunity to send their emails to county council members thanking them. Some of them did not have an opportunity before they left their office, and they sent thank yous to us over the weekend from home. I certainly regret the sorrow and inconvenience that this unprecedented action may have caused those employees and their families, particularly as we approach the holiday season. I agree with the AG's office opinion that this 1964 statute was poorly crafted, so I can't say for certain if this is an unintended consequence or not. But nevertheless, I want to extend my appreciation to all those people and wish them very well during the upcoming holiday season and a happy new year.
Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Hollins. Mr. Wynn.
Yes. I would just like to say that
I commend you on a well-run meeting and for your collegiality and your professionalism. I appreciate your starting off on a good note, and I'm so pleased that you've asked a political science undergraduate student from the University of Delaware to give him a chance. When I was a political science undergraduate student at the University of Delaware, I had the chance to intern with Councilman Joe Biden, and it was our joint project to help convert the old Asbury Methodist Church to the Christina Cultural Arts Center, and I'm still very proud of that partnership with Councilman Biden at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
What?
Yeah. Oh, you want to borrow me to talk to you? I've got something good in mind.